and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Happy Friday, 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Wow! Wow, that's a jam-packed show. Comedian extraordinaire Hal Sparks joining us for hours two and three.
That's right.
The entire, almost two, what, carry the board about? That's like two-thirds of the show.
Holy crap.
Hal Sparks live in studio with us. And in hour number three, Reverend Jim Wallace, whom we love.
That's right.
Well, I could just go home then.
And Melissa Etheridge, also on the Celebrity Hotline in hour number three.
I think the show may explode today.
We are, it's Friday. As Jim mentioned, we're running on fumes. This is the Tom Sawyer part of where we just get other people to paint the fence for us.
You came in this morning and said you were logy.
I'm a little logy. StephanieMiller.com, the website.
That means drunk in some language.
A little bit. A little tiny bit. StephanieMiller.com. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoie, voice deity Jim Ward, and me, Stephanie Miller. Oh, the Sonia Sotomayor saga continues. Bill O'Reilly, huh? Talking about how tricky the president is with this one.
President Obama shrewdly nominated a judge who will most likely be confirmed and whose presence could very well damage the Republican Party in the process. Another big-time political move from Mr. Obama, who certainly learned his Chicago lessons. Well,
you see how that works, Jim? Nominating somebody eminently qualified that will be confirmed. That's Chicago
tricky
politics.
He's practically
sleazy kind of...
Practically Rod Blagojevich. That sleazy getting people who are competent, qualified to do the job and probably pass muster.
All right. Also, more rich white men whining. Sean Hannity yesterday.
They want to take us out as conservatives. They want one phrase, one word, one sentence, one paragraph out of context, and they want me out, silenced, and dead and gone.
No.
Computer says no.
What fun would there be in the world without the whiny white man? We don't want you gone.
But you're around forever, so we could mock you mercilessly.
And I will tell him so next week in person when I see him in New York.
Oh, you're going to see him in New York
next
week,
Yes, I'm going to see him in New York next week.
Great.
That's the radio geek convention thing.
Whatever.
All right. Let's see. Agnes has emailed. Stephen, who must be married to Agnes and uses her email account.
Okay.
Stephen in South Chicago writes, "Staff, when a Supreme Court nominee's racial objectivity is challenged by such prominent civil rights leaders as Rush Limbaugh, Newt Gingrich, and Ann Coulter, attention must be paid." Thank you. That's a little bit of snark, you see, from Agnes's husband, who is the smartest boy in the class.
Or it could be just someone who broke into Agnes's house and used their computer.
It could be. Not sure if Agnes is aware of all this in South Chicago. All right. Meanwhile, the you know, our show is a collection of little oddities. I mentioned for some odd reason Kitty Carlisle yesterday.
Yes, you did.
Yes. Which led to the oddest fun fact I have heard about a game show panelist in my life. Could I have some fun fact music, please?
Sure. Well, I think the fun fact was mentioned in the meeting after the show. I don't know if that was mentioned on the air, was
No,
it?
I mentioned Kitty Carr. I said that she was my co-host my disastrous late-night show. That was a joke about how old I am.
Yes, okay.
And how old the show was. But that was a joke.
Yes, okay.
Since it was only in 1995. However, did you know? Well, she was a What's My Line panelist, remember?
Yes.
I don't know how someone found this. What's My Line panelist for June 26th, 1960? It was the night after a freak accident originating from Arlene Francis's home. This was somebody thought that it was Kitty Carlisle. It was Arlene Francis, in which an unfortunate passerby was killed.
Wow. My God.
Arlene Francis inadvertently killed someone the night before.
How did this happen?
What's My Line? On June 26, 1960. Funny you should ask. Arlene used a weightlifting dumbbell to prop open a window of her eighth-floor New York City apartment.
She's a weightlifter? She was a weightlifter?
She didn't seem like it, did she?
No.
She had those very skinny arms. In the, you know, the sleeveless dresses.
Skinny Upper East Side arms.
Yeah, she did not look like a dumbbell aficionado.
No.
However, on the night before this show aired, when Arlene was not at home, a maid accidentally knocked the dumbbell out of the window. It struck a luckless pedestrian on the street below and killed him.
Oh, my God.
He was a tourist from Detroit visiting New York City to celebrate his 60th birthday. In 1962, Arlene Francis paid the man's estate $175,000 in an out-of-court settlement.
The password is Manslaughter.
The password is... Ow. Wow. That's the weirdest.
Wow.
All right.
I guess that maid was no longer in casa after that.
I'm guessing not. All right.
And he simply can't get good help these days.
Mm. Julie in Seattle, of course, the official beaver reporter for the Stephanie Miller Show on the Scottish beaver controversy. Are you aware of this?
Scottish beaver?
Has nothing. This story has Scottish nothing to do beaver? With Sean Connery.
Nice beaver. Mm.
Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
Sean Connery in no way involved
but
in this.
But is it about Shirley Manson?
No. Britain's anglers have stepped up their campaign against controversial proposals to return beaver to Scotland. The British don't want to.
Didn't know it was missing.
Beaver has been missing in Scotland.
Wow.
17 beavers captured in Norway are due to be released.
Norwegian beaver.
Norwegian beaver.
You may take our beaver, but you'll never take their freedom.
That was a Beatles song, wasn't it?
I don't know. The leaders of the...
sat on the rug.
The leaders of the Scottish beaver trial insist that beaver will not have a detrimental impact.
How can beaver have a detrimental impact?
It sometimes can.
All right.
The Britain said a
especially if it's diseased.
If you're a buffet.
The British said a recent survey on the catastrophic impact of beavers. Oh, well, that's overstating it a little bit. Served to highlight the potential threat posed by the Scottish beaver experiment. You shouldn't experiment with a beaver. You really should commit or not. The report concludes that unless beaver are removed or culled on an ongoing basis... Oh,
how do you
goodness.
Cull a beaver?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God.
The result will be the demise of salmon runs. Paul Knight, the executive director of the STA, said, while the American beaver is a different species to its European cousin, both species share a propensity for dam building.
With their teeth.
Yes. The director of the Nick somebody, the director of the Tweed Foundation, said the report underlines how stupid it would be to introduce beaver. The evidence from countries
are
where
you daft man introducing beaver to Scotland.
The evidence from countries where beaver.
Oh,
has...
I'm sure Scotland is very familiar with beaver.
The evidence from countries where beaver has been introduced is that they cannot be contained.
That's certainly true.
You know, that seems to be a thread running through all of our beaver stack stories that beaver cannot
beaver
be
cannot
contained.
Be contained. Any species of it.
So don't even try.
Yes. Okay, let's check some entertainment news, shall we?
There's no business like show business.
It's time for Tinsel Talk. Let's find out what's going on in Hollywood with Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm in a frothy Friday mood.
Why?
So I thought I'd start with entertainment.
Okay.
Courtney Love is being sued over an unpaid credit card debt. American Express claims she owes $350,000 in unpaid charges.
That's a bill.
How do you, lowering most people's limits to $1,000 without telling you. How the hell does Courtney Love get a $350,000 limit?
Well, American Express doesn't have limits. That's the difference.
That's probably not wise in Courtney Love's case.
You're supposed to pay it off every month. That's the idea.
Yikes. That's a little bit of a buildup. Who do we have?
We have Courtney Love.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm.
You know me. I'm a marginally talented floozy who piggybacked my career on my late husband's fame. Did more drugs than Amy Winehouse, Scott Weiland, and Stevie Ray Vaughan put together. Flashed my somewhat attractive breasts at every venue I could manage. Had one big success as an actress. Proceeded to every bit of it away in a tsunami of self-indulgent destructiveness. Alienated my dead husband's bandmates, record company, and relatives. Was so clueless I let my boyfriend pilfer $20 million without noticing, just like the madwoman of Chaillot, and decided that I haven't screwed up my life. Oh, so now I have an eating disorder, has set back feminism 40 years merely by being bat crazy. I'm ready to do it all again. That's my life. Chaotic, senseless, and barely worth living. That's why my card is American Express. I love that you can charge things without having ever to pay for them. It's so much simpler. In my state of mind, I need simple. What? A lawsuit? Oh, great. No, I'll never get out of the hole.
She cuts her pants. Hole.
Hey, it's
hole.
Up there. It was hole. Now she's in the hole.
Melissa Ostermauer on bass, who could never be described as being off the wall. Because that means on the wall.
And finally, David Hasselhoff and Lindsay Lohan's ex, Samantha Ronson, are set to appear, quote-unquote, in the new Sarah Palin porn film. They'll be played by porn stars. It's the sequel to a Hustlers parody, Who's Nailin' Palin? from last year.
Mm-hmm.
So there'll be porn characters playing David Hasselhoff and Samantha Ronson.
They felt the need for a sequel?
Apparently, the first one, successful. Wildly popular.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did bang up business.
Yeah. you see.
Who do we have? David Hasselhoff, I believe.
Hey, kid. I'm going to be in a porno.
As if your life could possibly be more embarrassing. And from which alcohol-soaked corner of your diseased brain did this fantasy arise?
I read it in Variety. See?
Hmm. Flint Skin Flick Tricks Hicks. Has been hacked, David Hasselhoff appears to be suffering delusions of adequacy as he and his publicist trumpet his appearance in the sequel to Nayland Palin. His part will be played by Teutonic Hose Beast Otto Bauer. Oh, come on. Even you must realize it's somewhat pretending to be you. God knows why.
Keep reading, Kit.
The part of erstwhile Knight Rider's gay car will be played by... Wait just a gosh darn minute.
I know you'd be thrilled.
I'm not gay. I'm a feat. There's a difference. And in any case, I'm a figment of your imagination. For the last time, Knight Rider was a silly TV show 25 years ago. It's not real.
Tell that to April at the Foundation. We got a hot date.
Oh, God.
I'd invite you, but I'm not into that whole AC-Deucy scene. The Hoff doesn't roll that way.
Just shoot me now.
Whatever floats your boat.
It was just a figure of speech.
Wow.
That's all.
Kit died.
Yikes.
Oh, no.
Oh, dear.
We've killed off Kit.
Along with Boo Boo. Didn't Boo Boo die?
Boo Boo died in a...
So cool, Dougie. So cool.
Sarah Palin shot him.
Yes!
Oh, it joins Boo Boo in the Stephanie Miller graveyard of...
a beloved
a
characters.
Fictional characters. That's all for Tinsel Talk. Tinsel Talk brought to you today by Andro Antblock. Find out why Antblock is better at baitisbetter.com.
Hooray!
Bling! I'm sad now.
Yeah. Oh, he can
it
revive.
Just adds to your loginess.
Scott, my right-wing love muffin in Massachusetts, Ansonia Sotomayor. Hello, Scott.
Yes, good morning, Miss Miller. How are you?
Oh, it's crazy religious right-wing Scott. Hi, Scott.
Yeah, it's a sad day in America. It's a sad day for me. Let's face it, we have a Negro on the Supreme Court.
Oh,
we
dear.
Have a Jew, and now we have a Hispanic.
Oh.
You know, they're going to put a homosexual on next.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
What's to say there isn't already one?
They'll put an Oriental on.
A lot of men in robes.
Yeah. But what about white people in this country? What about white Anglo-Saxon Protestant people?
Uh-huh.
Some of them are gay. Where are our rights in this country?
Uh-huh.
Everything has been destroyed by diversity,
uh-huh.
equality. They want to take our country. It's already mm-hmm. become a racial cesspool.
Uh-huh.
And they want to filth it up with all of these races
uh-huh.
and religions,
uh-huh.
lifestyles. I want to go back to an America of the 1920s. I'd like to
yes.
go back to an America
yes.
of a Klan revival when America was white Anglo-Saxon
okay.
Protestant, when
right.
America
uh-huh.
was pure.
Oh, gosh. Look at that, Scott. It's time for your medication. All right.
You know,
thanks
Scott,
for calling.
In the 1920s, you wouldn't have been able to call
okay.
talk shows.
Right. Hello, my baby. Hello, my darling. Hello, my ragtime girl.
And they didn't have air conditioning back then.
Oh, boy. Okay, 20 minutes after the hour. Let's just pretend that didn't happen.
Mm. I think he's pulling her leg.
Maybe. Yeah. Hard to tell. 20 minutes after the hour. Oh, heavens. You'll never guess who the new Fox Liberal is going to be.
Oh, really?
Reportedly.
Okay.
All right. That and much more celebrity stack as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
It's a combination of low self-esteem, low blood sugar, and mixing red wine with my dog's painkillers.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Elaine in Illinois wants to respond to crazy religious right wing Scott. Hi, Elaine.
Hi there. I really feel kind of sorry for that fellow. He reminds me a bit of the mouse in Who Moved My Cheese that didn't really know what to do, and so he just sat there till I guess he starved to death.
Except in Scott's case, apparently a Negro moved his cheese.
Well, that makes all the difference.
Or a Jehu in his telling of this, or a homosexual, alternatively.
I feel like that people who feel that way, you know, I mean, I lived in the 40s and 50s, and so I remember when it was a rather white America, but I find all of this to be, it adds a richness to the fabric of our lives. It's kind of like being told you can only wear beige or you can have all these other colors
Elaine,
and interests.
Ironically, he wouldn't have been able to call my show and express his delightful views because I would be at home pregnant in the kitchen instead of hosting a radio show, wouldn't I?
Yes. I can't see you pregnant.
Somebody would knock me up. It would be 1950. They'd have to.
Nobody would knock you up.
Oh, shut up. Dan,
you weigh 4 pounds. Your body would reject it.
Like a bad kidney.
Yeah.
Dan in Chicago on Knight Rider for some odd reason. Hello, Dan.
Hello. It is the official storm-chasing chauffeur of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Thank you.
Jim, I just have one minor problem with your thing. Kit was bulletproof.
Oh, Jim.
Darn it.
Kit, the car was bulletproof.
You know what,
damn
though?
You,
that
Jim.
Ruins the whole thing.
You know what, though? He probably had one little space, you know, like the Death Star,
sure, right,
where he could shoot it and
actually,
it would blow up.
He shot him from the inside. You know, into the, you know, right.
Listen, you don't understand how seriously Emmy-nominated voice deity Jim Ward takes his work. He once responded to an email about a mouse whose Scottish accent was apparently not the right dialect, and Jim's like, well, you know, it's a damn mouse! For
first of all, it's a talking mouse!
Javon in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hi, Stephanie. Hi, guys.
Hi.
About that caller and about another note about other talk show people always bring to a point that when they talk about the past, like especially beyond 1976 and things like that, you know, as a black guy living in Chicago and in Inglewood, three things scare me the most. Gangs, the old times when, you know, everybody talks about how the economy was good and everything.
Yeah, the good old days.
You should really take these people to task because black people weren't included in these good times. Black people weren't a part of these, you know, these voting rights and things like that when the economy was good and when we were supposed to be prosperity and growth. We weren't a part of that. We weren't a part of that. We've been in 8% and above. Even before, you know, they started hollering about the, you know, the economy going down and things like that, you know, now we're at 15 to 20, you know, and it's really bad for us. And, you know, so it's and the other thing that scares me, the third thing is people like that that call in that have that mindset. I'm terrified of people like that. I'm terrified of gangs and I'm terrified of thinking about the past as I've studied and looked at.
Well, you know, Javon, you need to listen to, listen to Rush Limbaugh want to understand the history of the downtrodden white, rich white man.
He scared the crap out of me. You know,
All right. I'll listen so you don't have to.
Yes.
He speaks so eloquently of the historical, you know, the horrible path that the white man has had in America.
Mm.
28 minutes after the hour. All right, I'll tell you next who the new Fox liberal might be as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller, you're acting like a psycho bitch.
Well, that's the point. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Jeff in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Jeff.
Hey.
Hi.
If right-wing Scott wants to go back to the way things used to be, why does it go a little bit further back? When Native Americans ruled the land and they were robbed and pillaged and raped. And
oh, he doesn't mean that far back. No, don't go there.
Computer says nah.
Yeah.
All right. He just wants the part in the middle where it was just white people.
All white people.
White people, white people.
Even though it never really has been all white people.
No. In fact, there were people here before white people got here.
Yes.
Who lays some claim to the place for some reason.
So, since Alan Combs has been gone from the Fox News, apparently there's been a gaping hole for somebody, you know, for a liberal.
Yeah, because Kirsten Powers sure ain't filling that hole.
So guess who it might be the new one? The lead singer of Up.
Of what?
The band Up, which
I
had
good.
Not heard
I've
of.
I've never heard of Mm-hmm. Like effed up?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's a Toronto hardcore band. He's Damien Abraham. They also known as Pink Eyes.
Oh.
Uh huh.
That sounds.
He was on their early Fox Red Eye thing. Show.
Mm-hmm. Pink Eyes, Red Eye.
He's considering an offer to appear more regularly on the channel as a commentator. I don't mean to say anything unkind, but he apparently is just shy of 300 pounds.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, of course not. I'm just saying, do you notice that Fox has a tendency to, you know, hire liberals that are somewhat visually
ugly?
Challenged. Just visually different. Okay. Let's,
Yes, like the toe-nail-eating prostitute, toe-sucker.
Well, he's not a liberal.
Yeah. Yes, but that's their ideal one, though. One that worked for Bill Clinton.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Who has made his career turning on him now? Okay.
Yes.
Oh, dear. The Queen. We have some Queen is not amused. You heard about this? Queen Elizabeth has been snubbed by France.
Good heavens. You got all.
The French government has snubbed Queen Elizabeth. They failed to invite her to the June 6th ceremonies marking the 65th anniversary of the Normandy invasion.
But nous ne sommes pas amusés.
Exactly. President Obama will be there. British tabloids have gone ballistic over what they see as French President Nicolas Sarkozy's trying to hog the Obama limelight.
Nicolas what?
Sarkozy.
Okay. That was better.
I got a do-over.
Yeah.
The British tabloids say a diminutive egomaniac, the stain of Nazi collaboration, and why the French can't forgive us for saving them in the war was Thursday's headline in London's Daily Mail. Above an article filled with denunciation of the French and their leaders as cheese-eating surrender monkeys.
Well.
The Diva des Contretemps, Tims, began on Wednesday after the British tabloids discovered that their sovereign had been snubbed by the French and reportedly was not amused.
Hmm.
As I said, nous ne sommes pas amusés.
Uh-huh, exactly. I don't think she said it in French, though.
No.
Hmm. All right. Barbara Streisand is writing a book about her massive house.
About why would she write a book about her massive house?
I don't know. It's her dream house, for God's sake. She has reached an agreement with Viking for a passion for design and illustrated book that includes photos of the Malibu, California compound. She has a compound, Jim.
Hmm.
Some people have a house. She has a compound. She's been working on it for more than 5 years.
The book, not the compound.
No, the compound.
Oh, the compound.
You know how long it takes to build a compound? At least 5 years.
Wait a minute. Isn't that the same house she's always lived in?
I don't know what she's been doing to the compound. It's not a house. It's a compound.
Oh, okay. I got to get myself
she
one
will,
of those compounds.
She will tell, among other things, why in the basement of her new house she reproduced a city street.
Ah, that's a
who doesn't?
Hell of a basement.
Who doesn't
can actually
do that?
Wow.
Most of us have a train set or something, but okay. A city street.
A rumpus room.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Viking president said of the house, everything is perfect, down to the flowers, to the metal plates and the doorknobs. I remember her living room. The color scheme was in pink and burgundy and green.
Ageless and ever pink and green.
And if you look out the window, you saw there were roses in the same color throughout the house. The outside matched what was inside. The Viking president says, I went home and ripped the flower bed out of my porch because the flowers didn't match my porch furniture.
Okay.
Now I'm going to have to, thank God Hal Sparks is coming in, I'm going to have to leave early. My flowers do not match anything.
I'm sure Hal Sparks' flowers don't match anything either.
We'll ask him when he gets here. All right.
It's not at the top of his list.
Joan Rivers is back in London performing. Oh, boy, she's not going to make any friends in the middle of America. She said, London people are very smart. It has to do with living near water. In the United States, both coasts are brilliant, and as you come in, dumber, dumber, dumber.
Oh, no.
Oh, dear.
Oh, my God.
She also went on to, and then she went on to insult old people and young people.
By the way, there's water south of the border, the Gulf of Mexico, mm-hmm, might have heard of it, mm-hmm, and yeah, the Great Lakes mm-hmm, to the north. Just saying.
I say what I think, and I don't really want someone sitting in a diaper at either end of their life in this show. I don't want children. I don't want oldies. I want smart people.
But she's an oldie. Okay. She's about ready for a diaper.
Okay.
Seriously.
Missy, where's my diaper? Yes. All right. What David Hyde Pierce revealed on The View that he married his partner, Brian Hargrove.
Congratulations. And you legally married him before.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Yes. The Proposition yes. 8 was... enacted.
Yes. He has always been fiercely private about his personal life, but he felt compelled to speak up in the light of the Prop 8 being upheld. He said he felt very angry sitting in front of his television wondering, gee, I hope it's okay. The Supreme Court thinks I'm married. Excuse me, it's none of your business.
That's right.
Good for you, David Hyde Pierce. He's been on this very show, and I've asked him for money, and he's also said no. I don't know why. I can't remember.
Why did you ask him for money?
Because he has a lot of it.
I'm not sure he does anymore.
I think some Frasier residuals are probably still kicking in.
Oh, yeah. But
Frasier runs pretty much every channel.
Right. Oh, I think because he's very charitable, he's quite a kid.
Oh,
so I asked if
right.
he could give to
Stephanie Miller.
And he said no.
Computer says no.
You've got a compound. Why would you need charity
please.
Money?
I do not have a compound, and nothing outside matches anything inside.
I've got compound W in my medicine cabinet.
Actually, you don't have real roses out in front of
I
your
do
house.
Too.
You have, you
I
have some
that,
fake
I
trees.
I got some of that freezy stuff to freeze my wart off my toe, but then it fell off on its own.
Yeah. TMI.
What? I'm sorry.
That's a hell of a wart.
Not sure why I brought that up.
Good Lord and butter.
Mm. Okay. Susan Boyle apparently has a little potty mouth. She's had two public F-word outbursts in the last...
Really?
Mm-hmm. She's the, you know, the Britain's Got Talent.
That's right. She sang that song from Les Mis.
Exactly. And you know what she sang the next time?
What?
Memory from Cats. I love that song.
Effing memory. In the effing moonlight.
All right. I don't know if any of that's true. Okay, guess what? Tom Arnold is getting set to wed wife number 4. That could have been me.
He came on to you, didn't he?
Yes. Well, you remember I lost my best cruising ground years ago, and where was that? Politically Incorrect. I was on Politically Incorrect with him. And
you had people coming on to you left and right on that show.
That's where Rod Steiger asked Tom Arnold lets me out. I could have been wife number 4. Damn it. And you know what a weird related story?
What?
You have to tune into Monday's show, you know why?
Why?
My running mate, Cece Goldwater, and I are going to watch Bill Maher tonight live.
Oh, really?
We're going to the taping of Real Time with Bill Maher tonight.
Very cool.
So who knows who Mama will meet. All right.
You'll end up with someone like Matt Taibbi or something.
Talking about F-bombs.
No, he has a better class of guests now because he has, you know, less shows. He doesn't invite the B-listers like...
Stephanie Miller.
He had to fill every night back at the Brooklyn Correct. Now it's, you know, he's got real people.
Yeah.
Okay.
People who do stuff.
Angelina Jolie reportedly pregnant again. The headline, though, not sure who the dad is.
Allegedly.
Interesting.
Allegedly. Oh, dear. Somebody said if they do tests and it's not Brad's, the relationship is over. See, that's where you draw the line in the sand. Okay.
That or if Brad turns into a baby, you know.
Yes.
Reverse.
Kind of like Benjamin Button,
yes.
You see.
All right. You have a child with one other person, and that's it. All right. Speaking of family values, Todd Palin reportedly offered Bristol a new car in exchange for dumping Levi.
Oh.
That's those sort of family values. You know, can I have my nostalgia music? Those are those old-time family values that Scott was talking about, aren't they, Jim? Prominently featured at campaign stops and at the Republican National Convention, the wholesome, big, happy family image of the Palin-Johnson Union turned out to be a skosh overdone. GQ magazine will reveal in a story to be released today that when the facade began to crumble, Todd Palin is said to have repeatedly offered to buy his daughter a car.
Or maybe a
snow machine. I was going to say, how'd you like a snow machine? If she dumped Levi once and for all. Hmm.
And I guess Levi poses shirtless in this GQ article.
Goody, mm-hmm. goody.
Shirtless with the baby.
Okay. 42 minutes after the hour. Well, unfortunately for crazy religious right-wing Scott from Massachusetts, we're not going back to the good old days. We are going to have a Latina on the Supreme Court. All right. By the way, we're playing the race card, apparently. Just nominating her.
We are?
That's what the right is saying. Back with all that on the Stephanie Miller Show.
My word, what a gorgeous way to wake up.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 48 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Stephanie in Madison on the explosive story about the torture pictures. Hi, Steph.
Yeah, hi, guys. Yeah, I heard Jeremy Scahill yesterday on Tom Hartman's show and reporting about the torture and the rapes. And I don't want to get, you know, blubbery like
Steph, let me just
this should be on the top of our list because he said that it's still going on.
Well, let's the first step for the people that haven't heard the breaking news this morning. The Obama administration has asked a federal appeals court to halt the release of the detainee abuse photos, saying the photos could incite violence in Pakistan as well as in Iraq and Afghanistan. They're denying this British newspaper report that some of the images show U.S. personnel raping detainees. The Daily Telegraph had reported a former U.S. general said graphic images of rape and torture among the pictures. Boy, I don't know if you've heard the description, Stephanie, but I hope this isn't true.
It's horrible. And, you know, being an incest survivor, just the whole idea of people doing things like that against other people. I mean, I think I don't want to judge what's worse, torture, but it's very hurtful. And if Obama, I mean, come on, please. I don't, you know, I know he doesn't listen to your show, but he does.
How do you know that?
Maybe
how dare you?
Maybe he does, but
he steals my jokes a lot.
I know.
He stole my right to bear arms joke that I told on CNN.
Well, Michelle probably listens because she's cool, but
there
anyway.
You go.
I just want to inform everyone about this and that it's got to stop.
Yeah. Well, I mean, thanks, Steph. Oh, boy.
Tom Hartman was talking about it yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. What do you think, Jim? I was like, oh, man. I mean, the Obama administration strongly denies this. It's a British report that the images are of rape and sexual abuse.
Well, yeah.
I hope it's not true.
Some of them have been apparently released to, you know, in England. They've leaked out.
The Telegraph quoted retired U.S. Army Major General Taguba as saying the pictures showed torture, abuse, rape, and every indecency. He conducted the investigation in 2004 into the abuse at Abu Ghraib.
Mm. Well, apparently there's videotape of a boy being raped.
Well, we heard
and screaming
reports of this back, but I don't know.
A female soldier was taking the pictures while, you know, he was being...
The Telegraph says at least one picture showed an American soldier apparently raping a female prisoner. Another is said to show a male translator raping a male detainee. Others are said to depict sexual assaults with objects including a truncheon, wire, and a phosphorescent tube. In an interview with New Yorker magazine published in 2007, Taguba was quoted as saying he saw a video of a male American soldier in uniform sodomizing a female detainee. Taguba retired in 2007. He included allegations of rape and sexual abuse in his report. He was quoted in the Telegraph as saying he supported Obama's decision not to release the pictures. He said, I'm not sure what the purpose of the release would serve other than a legal one. The sequence would be to imperil our troops. He said the mere depiction of these pictures is horrendous enough. Take my word for it. So, I don't know. The Pentagon and the White House are very forcefully denying this, but I...
I don't need to see pictures of that.
Oh, boy.
Well, but somebody has seen them already because they've been leaked, some of them.
Yeah. Ugh. All right.
Thank you, President Bush. That was...
All right. Anyway, so back to the Supreme Court fight. Wow, this is really amazing. Apparently, it is racist in itself to nominate a Hispanic nominee, is what the far right is saying. Bill O'Reilly.
If you are a woman or a minority, you will be treated differently, especially in the liberal press.
Huh.
The left sees white men as a problem. They believe women and minorities in power is a solution to that problem.
Hmm.
That is called gender and race politics.
I mean, like Clarence Thomas?
Yeah.
Appointed by a Republican?
Mm-hmm. Yes. By the way, Orrin Hatch, when Alberto Gonzalez was up to be attorney general, he said, among other things, this is the first Hispanic ever nominated for that position. I personally love Hispanic people. Frankly, I know my friends in the Hispanic community and Hispanic people all over America are watching this debate.
Good Lord.
They're sensing something very unfair going on here. I ask my colleagues to do exactly that. Give Judge Gonzalez a chance to prove himself. He will not let you down. As it turned out.
Yeah,
boy, they sure seem to think the Hispanic roots were just dandy back then, didn't they?
Yeah, now it's a problem.
Yeah.
Because she's such a raging liberal. Oh, wait a minute, she's not.
Pat Buchanan said she's an affirmative action pick. Clearly the president was down to four choices, all of the women, and he picked the Hispanic. Rush Limbaugh, of course, proclaimed Sotomayor a reverse racist who was appointed by the greatest living example of reverse racist, Obama. Chris Matthews interrupted Buchanan to point out that the Clarence Thomas nomination seemed influenced by racial politics.
Yes.
Hey, and by the way, that's what we were talking about, Clarence Thomas. That was the most ridiculous part of that whole thing, his whole high-tech lynching speech. None of the complaints against him had anything to do with race.
Right.
None of them.
Just that he was a jerk.
Yes.
Yeah.
An a-hole.
Apparently a sexist jerk. Okay, Andrew Breitbart on Hannity's.
The problem here for Barack Obama is that much of middle America thought that he was going to be a post-racial candidate.
Oh.
For him to put a woman who thinks in terms of race, he's breaking that with middle America.
We were told he would be post-racial. We were told that there would be no more melanin brought to the table. That's enough, for God's sakes. He's bringing more brownness.
Yes,
okay.
The world will end because there's a Latina on the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
But he anticipated the struggle that's going on now within the Republican Party because they desperately want to get more Hispanic votes.
Yeah.
And by opposing her...
Particularly by calling her dumb and racist.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, she's dumb.
Yeah, sure she is.
Graduated, what, second in her class?
And yeah, second in her class at Princeton, editor of the Yale Law Review. You know how easy that is to do. Okay. Here's the...
I was a Yale leader. That takes smarts. Got to rhyme stuff.
Yeah, and here's the other thing. This whole, we've been talking about them casting her as some sort of radical leftist.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hearing more and more concerns on the left about her.
Yes,
right.
That are valid than concerns on the right. Many lawyers and scholars who've examined her record closely say her opinions are unpredictable. They don't put her clearly in a pro or anti-business camp, for instance. One legal scholar said she does seem to take everyone as it comes in the approach he compared to David Souter, which we talked about, like, right up the middle. He said she issues business opinions that hew closely to precedents of her circuit and of the Supreme Court. A senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute, a conservative organization, said she will not be as liberal as many of the Republicans are saying. No one could be that liberal even if they tried. To which I say, damn it, I want a real liberal. For instance, one of the bigger concerns coming out is about Roe v. Wade.
Yeah.
A lot of pro-choice groups are jittery because they really don't know. She hasn't ruled really on anything that goes to, Roe v. Wade. We simply don't know Judge Sotomayor's view on the bedrock constitutional case of Roe v. Wade, said the president of the Center for Reproductive Rights. NARAL Pro-Choice America said discussion about Roe v. Wade will and must be a part of this nomination process. As you know, choice hangs in the balance as the last two major choice-related cases were decided by a 5-4 margin.
Mm-hmm.
There's other groups. Lambda Legal, the gay group, is asking the Senate to scrutinize Sotomayor's record. I was wondering, if gay marriage comes up. That's what I mean. There's a lot of,
That's why a lot of gay groups are really against what Ted Olson and David Boies are doing, because they don't want it to go to the Supreme Court at this point.
President of the Progressive National Lawyers Guild said she's a mixed bag. I'm thrilled that there will be the first Latina on the Supreme Court and there'll be another woman, but I really would have liked to have seen a real progressive counterweight to the radical rightists on the court. That's the thing. We have a court that's been packed by George Bush and I think Tom Hartman talked about that too yesterday, Jim. I think the press fell down on John Roberts and Alito, that they're really they were kind of cast as moderate. They're really not.
Not at all.
Yeah, exactly. So I agree with Rachel Maddow. This whiskey sour is all screwed up. I want a real liberal.
I want a Rob Roy.
Yeah, we expected a whiskey sour. We got a Rob Roy.
And I want a rusty nail.
A what?
I don't know.
Rusty nail.
What's in a rusty nail?
I don't remember. It's Friday.
What's in a grasshopper?
Oh, something creamy and
creme de menthe?
Green. Creme de menthe. Yes, and cream.
Something you'll see again really soon.
Yes.
You wash down your Tommy's burgers.
All right. Joe Sestak has indicated he will be running for the Senate. Yay! We'll hear from him in Stand Up News next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, and I feel good. Hey! It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Happy Friday. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. The Reverend Jim Wallace, author of God's Politics, coming up next hour. And the official rock star of the Stephanie Miller Show, Melissa Etheridge, on the Celebrity Hotline as well. What a show. What a show. And I feel some celebrity heat right now, but I can't tell you who it is yet. All right. Big news. Sonia Sotomayor cannot be on the Supreme Court because she once made a joke.
Court of Appeals is where policy is made. And I know, and I know this is on tape, and I should never say that because we don't make law. I know. Okay, I know. I'm not promoting it, and I'm not advocating it. I'm, you know. Okay. Having said that, the Court of Appeals is where, before the Supreme Court makes the final decision, the law is percolating. Its interpretation, its application.
She makes jokes and she has feelings. All right. Oh, by the way, and she might at some point realize that she's Hispanic and you can't ever use race unless you're Justice Alito back in
the day. When I get a case about discrimination, I have to think about people in my own family who suffered discrimination because of their ethnic background or because of religion.
What? Huh? How come it was okay then? What? Huh? Okay. And Rush Limbaugh, fresh from talking about the plight of the white man in America yesterday.
Virtually everybody who heard my I hope Obama fails knows exactly what I meant. Mm. There is not a sane person in this country who genuinely believes I want this country to fail. Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, this country is failing because President Obama is succeeding. I don't care how you choose to measure it. There is no hope on the horizon for a job. There is no hope on the horizon for renewed prosperity.
Oh, interesting. If there were only somebody smart to explain that to me, why?
Hey!
Huh? Jim, who is it?
Actor, comedian, musician, gynecologist, nuclear physicist, and God knows what else. All-around great guy, Hal Sparks.
Hey. Hal Sparks!
Hi. I got here just in time.
Phew.
Just in time.
I was racing up the stairs, and then the bell rung before I even touched it.
Mm. Did you hear Rush talking about the Republicans are really the oppressed minority? Rich white Republican men, really the oppressed minority
in
America.
You know, he and Pat Buchanan must be nudging, like snuggling each other to sleep at night. Because the two of them, like, he's been amazing. I mean, Pat, I don't know how he gets to continually be the cuddly racist. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I know I make stuff look sweet and easy, but but white people are being driven out of the government in droves. Like,
do you remember that piece? He actually wrote a piece a while back on how black people should thank us because we gave them a free ride here to this great country.
Right, exactly. Yeah, they didn't have
the
to.
The ones who survived.
Yes, exactly. In the from smallpox and diphtheria. And,
yes, because we brought them to... Yeah. He kind of left out the details, but we brought them to the greatest country in the world.
These two guys are, specifically Rushmore is actually appealing to a specific demographic of, I think, mostly like... psychotic, loner, racist truckers, maybe? You know what I mean? Like, that's the only people who listen to that show for more than 8 seconds at a pop to record clips so they can go... Because you don't, you know... Chris has an easy job. He just kind of listen. Just turn it on for a second and turn it on record.
Yeah.
And you'll get something BS crazy just out of nowhere. Like, oh my God, that's the most racist, stupid thing I've ever heard. Cool. You don't even have to go, we sifted through an hour. Not even. Just turn it, like, put it on right now and you go, oh my God, what was that?
1,000, 2,000. There it is.
Okay. Right, exactly. And so, you know, I think Glenn Beck is actually leading the drive of what's left of that 18% of the hardcore GOP.
The crazy weepy white men.
Yes, towards just the Alex Jones space zone of their kind of thing. It's not, you know, not only is, you know, Obama a member of the Bilderberg family, but he's a secret Jew.
Well, Jeff and Lally, by the way, StephanieMiller.com, the website, you can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Ward, and me, Stephanie Miller, like Jeff in LeClaire, Iowa did with an explanation for me. Steph, please play some scary background music while I crunch some numbers to help you understand why Rush is so concerned about racism in the new Supreme Court. It used to be that nearly 100% of corporate CEOs were white men. Now that number's dropped to only about 80%. For much of our nation's history, almost 100% of Congress was comprised of white men. Now that number's down to about 85%. Only 43 of our 44 U.S. presidents have been white men. Can you see how the plight of the white man has gotten worse over the years? Yes, I can. What about education opportunities? 2 decades ago, 90% of college graduates were white men. Now they only make up about 60%. It used to be that white men on average made 3 or 4 times as much money as women or other ethnic groups. Now we only make about 50% more. With Justice Sotomayor replacing the more pronounceable Justice Souter, only 66% of the Supreme Court will be comprised of white men. Stop looking at these cold, hard numbers. You have to ask yourself, how much longer can we allow this oppression of white men to continue? Jeff in LaClaire, Iowa.
It's true. In life, white men are now getting a B, and a low B at that, you know? They're not getting, you know, they used to be getting an A-plus all the time.
Yeah.
Now they're at 82%. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't. That's nowhere to go but down.
No,
White people are flunking out of America. We need to help them. No white person left behind. I think that's got to be the next promise from the Obama campaign. They need a program to help white people get back on their feet. They don't want a handout. They just need support.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Let's check some other news we don't want to lose, shall we, kids? Here we go.
Yippee, yippee, it's time for stand-up news. And now, here's anchor person, Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. When news breaks here at Stays Broken, our top story, Representative Joe Sestak, whom we know.
It's a sleestack noise, but you'll get what I'm saying. Yeah.
Democrat of the great state of Pennsylvania confirmed in an interview with Wolf Blitzer that he is planning on challenging Arlen Specter, pending a little time with my family. He left a little wiggle room in there. And I guess his family doesn't watch CNN. Okay, I don't think a D next to your name makes you a Democrat, he said. It's about whether Arlen will fight for the right issues, Democrat or Republican. He helped derail health care plans without an alternative in the 90s. Maybe he's changed, but I'm not sure we can take that chance. We have the rest of Representative Sestak's thoughts.
After long and careful consideration, I've decided to challenge Arlen Specter for the Democratic nomination for Senator from Pennsylvania. I'm doing it out of concern for the people of Pennsylvania, from a deep sense of personal commitment to bettering their lot, from a conviction that it's time for someone new, but mostly because Arlen Specter, or Howling Sphincter as I like to call him, is a Democrat like my ass chews gum. Really, Arlen, I know the Dems have checked their sacks at the door for the last 30 years, but Obama and Rahm getting all goo-goo-eyed over your switch notwithstanding, you switching parties is like Ann Coulter declaring her new role model as Mother Teresa. And I know Republicans are about as popular as a beer fart in a phone booth, but did you really think you could blow the smell off just by putting a D after your name? Unless, of course, you mean you're now the douchebag from Pennsylvania, but of course, we all knew that before. Then there's your voting record since joining the party. It's like you look at the party as your own personal butt boy. So man up, Helen, I'm fixing to be the single bullet that kills both your career and your party affiliation. See you at the polls, chump.
See, Jim got in a JFK conspiracy synopsis there because
absolutely,
Arlen Specter.
Yeah, I'm with it. And you should have thrown in something about the where they parked the Ark of the Covenant too, because Arlen Specter looks like he's melting. He's one of those. He and John Kerry are like competing for the melting senator award.
I'm melting in slow motion.
Like they just looked into the Ark of the Covenant and like it's beautiful.
I just took a glance at it 30 years ago.
Right,
my face has been
pop it open every
since.
Morning. Right.
Oh, God. John McCain's on his way just because he's shiny. He looks like he's just got under the light, and it's about
to. He's getting
it.
Tim Conway head. You know what I mean? Like Mr. Tudball. Yeah, right.
And finally, Al Franken joining with our very favorite Barbara Boxer for a fundraising effort. He's joining forces with California Senator Barbara Boxer to form a fundraising committee that will fund his ongoing Senate contest battle and her 2010 reelection bid. A Franken spokesperson said Boxer is a strong Franken supporter, confirms there will be a July fundraiser for the duo. We have a movie trailer of some sort.
For some reason, yes.
Yes.
It came from the West and from the North, an unholy, terrifying hybrid of liberal politics. It raises cash. It makes speeches. It strikes fear into the hearts of Republicans everywhere. It's alive! It's the Democratic juggernaut that dare not speak its name. All tremble at its mighty presence. It's the nightmare for conservatives that every Democrat has been waiting for. It's Frankenboxer! Yes, Frankenboxer, whose power to turn the fiercest Republican slanders into teddy bear caresses with offhand quips and saucy retorts is only matched by its electoral stamina. Franken has erupted from nowhere to unseat a machine Republican, and Boxer has slain every Republican dragon to cross her path with the merest flip of her perfect coiffure. Together, do they spell the downfall of the Republicans? Can they bring the Democrats back to respectability? Or even, who knows, relevance. Stay tuned as Frankenboxer takes on its most tenacious adversary in Frankenboxer versus the Blue Dogs, coming soon to a Senate near you.
It's all for stand-up news. I'm here all week. Tell your friends.
I don't know.
Frankenboxer.
Sounds strangely pleasant. But that was an earlier discussion.
If you'd like more Jim Ward, Boulder All.
Check out Jim Ward's Apocryphal But True, for which there is a banner. Or no, sorry, Tile Ad.
Tile Ad, yes.
At StephanieMiller.com. Mm,
much
Thank
better.
Thank you.
Yeah. And check out Jim-Ward.com so you can see my Emmy-nominated performance in...
Biker Mice from Mars. Thank you.
All right.
Who got you that job?
Stephanie Miller.
I love you, Jim. All right.
That's adorable. You guys are so cute together.
Aren't
I've never
we?
Really seen that happen in person.
All right. That's just, I might need to take credit for everything.
Yeah. It was like Super Mario Brothers. Like a heart just moved from one person to the other. And bing. And then he suddenly had more power.
Hal Sparks, what do you think of this year Supreme Court battle thus far?
I think it's an exercise in watching. Here's the thing. I've thought for the longest time since Obama came in that he's been playing chess and they've been playing beanbag tic-tac-toe. and even the American people have this tendency in our, in our hyper gut, reflex culture to kind of go, it's got to happen immediately or it's not going to happen at all. Or to be totally suspect and paranoid about anything that he does.
Right.
So the minute he put her up, everybody was like, but she has no qualifications on this. We're worried, very concerned. Well, it's like, yeah, I picked her because of these four women that I was looking at. This is the one that's the hardest for them to torpedo immediately. But
right.
I know where she stands because I can read an opinion because I'm a lawyer and I talk
constitutional
law.
They were saying
brilliant.
The conservatives are already saying, oh, she's the worst of the four. She's the most liberal. It's like, yeah, I'm sure you wouldn't have said anything about the one that was a lesbian.
Exactly.
I'm sure you wouldn't have mentioned
now
anything.
Now, that's liberal. You know the reason why the word liberal has become a bad word in this culture is because it became equated with kind of like with 60s open sexuality and homosexuality.
Right.
This kind of, because it sounds like that. It's that kind of sounding word,
right.
Like liberal,
yeah.
Like, woo,
yeah.
Just burn
like,
your bra.
Like George McGovern.
Exactly. Right. Totally.
Freak.
Yeah. Whereas conservative sounds very normal and sane.
Yes.
That's why I think progressive is making them very angry. When you use the word progressive, they go, that makes us
sound
like you're in Star Trek and we have butter churns. Exactly.
Yes. Exactly. That makes us sound like we're regressive.
Precisely.
That's our point.
I think she'll be a decent choice. I think what he's using, he's making them spend their powder on somebody who's relatively moderate, and then his next one comes out and they go, but she's the most conservative, or he's the most liberal ever, and you go, well, that's what you said about the last one,
and
she's pretty much right in the middle.
Yeah.
So you basically ridicule their argument by baiting them into the open. It's classic Sun Tzu's The Art of War.
Of course, from their perspective, the middle is extreme left-wing. They've moved so far off the edge.
Facts actually have a liberal bent. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. All right. They're screaming again on the Fox News about Sonia Sotomayor. We will talk about that. And on the left a little bit, too. We will talk about all that as we continue.
Yeah, well, talk about gamesmanship. Talk about playing smart politics. It's kind of brilliant. Like,
whatever you
say about Obama, it's like, that is the most brilliant political maneuvering I've seen in ages, and it still works out for our side, largely. So, there you go.
Back with comedian Hal Sparks live in the studio as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Holy crap!
We'll have more on these new developments after this.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Girlfriend, things that make you go ooh. Things that make you go ooh. Things that make you go ooh. Hey. Things that make you go ooh.
Ooh. Mm. It is the Stephanie Miller Show with comedian Hal Sparks live in the studio with us.
That is fine.
1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Brian in Miami on Sonia Sotomayor. Hello, Brian.
Hey guys, I thought it was a great idea that you posted that you played that clip of Samuel Alito talking about discrimination, because if I remember correctly, part of his resume when he posted to become a district court judge and a member of SCOTUS was that he was a member of the Concerned Alumni for Princeton, which was a group that wanted to make Princeton white men only. So if anybody out there knows about discrimination, I guess it would be Samuel Alito, wouldn't it?
Yes, apparently he talked about his racial background.
And let's, lest we forget, Clarence Thomas referring to his own hearings as a high-tech lynching.
Yes, when the criticism of him had nothing to do with race
whatsoever. When when it was just a policy thing, he played the race card to get himself in, and that was a Republican appointee.
But as we've said, we do have to admit that he has proven himself quite the legal thinker.
Yeah.
As in most of his opinions, which say, whatever Scalia said.
Right.
Essentially.
Yeah. It's what he says. I think he has a stamp made.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
A big rubber stamp.
Yeah. He doesn't even sign anything anymore. He just says what Scalia said. You can buy those now.
He just has an I'm with Scalia t-shirt on under his robe. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Clarence Thomas, hey, you're not supposed to talk about real people being affected by stamps.
The judge must get the decision right. Because when all is said and done, the real people of America will be affected.
What? Real people? Huh? That's what she said, but it's wrong now.
Which almost panicked his supporters at that time. What, you're not going to really help real people. Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Okay.
By real people, you mean us. Not real people. Oh, okay, not average people. Because a lot of times that's code for average. And we're not average. We don't view ourselves as average. We're elite. But we don't say elite.
He means real people like Rush Limbaugh.
Exactly,
You remember, he officiated at Rush's, one of his weddings. Who can remember which one?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Does he bother to wed anymore? I mean, is it a legal thing to just get them in the country?
He's like most real people that have adult drinks on Rush's veranda with him. I remember Rush telling that story once. I was having some adult beverages with Clarence Thomas on my veranda.
What's an adult beverage anyways? Does it not have a crazy straw? Is it not in a pouch? Is that the... An adult beverage, it's just gin and OxyContin.
Yeah.
You have to use a straw. It's one of those boba straws so that they can, the drugs can actually slide up the tube without choking you to death.
Mark in Connecticut for Hal Sparks. Hal, it's for you.
Hello.
Hello, Hal. How are you doing?
I'm good.
That's so good to hear. I just wanted to thank you for the work that you did on that show, Queer as Folk. And I'm just a really big fan of that. I was a big fan. It's not on anymore.
Awesome show.
I know. Off the show. But I was just wondering, what did you think of the California Proposition 8 sort of quagmire, maybe, that we got ourselves into? What did you think of all that?
You know, I found the quagmire aspect of it quite reassuring, actually, because it was one of the dumbest legal opinions I think I've ever seen, where you actually create a group who is separate and special under the law, which is entirely unconstitutional, which means it's easy to torpedo it on a federal level. So it's almost like members of...
There are gay rights groups that are suspicious of this Ted Olson lawsuit. They're afraid that this is going to backfire.
Or that and on the other side, they're suspicious and afraid that it's actually, this has all been a Trojan horse to get this equal protection clause to cover gay marriage through a series of crappy lawsuits. And this is, Prop 8 was horribly worded and it legally indefensible, I think. And this ruling itself, it exemplifies that, in that you can't take a group of... It's like saying everybody who gets into this room is allowed to breathe. Anybody who got here after... It's like freedom in this country is not like buying U2 tickets. You don't sell out of freedom,
28 minutes after the hour, back with more Hal Sparks, the Supreme Court nomination, and much more on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. She's a skank.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it.
That's very sweet.
Thank you. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12 is the phone number, toll free from anywhere. A skank biscuit to walk to you. Well, Chris and...
Yeah, that's a term of endearment. Straight up skank doesn't really help anybody. But
yeah.
Skank biscuit is like, oh, I get it.
Yes.
Stephanie Miller.
Why don't you dip yourself in flour and make a skank biscuit?
There you go. Sure.
Breakfast for everybody. Jessica in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Hal Sparks. Hi, Jess.
Hi, Jess.
Hi, skank biscuit. How are
Hello.
You?
Hello. Good morning to you.
I am
ho bag.
Ho biscuit. Ho cake.
Go ahead.
Hey, because of the audio thing that you recording that you had of Rush Limbaugh and about how could you get any more anti-U.S.? You hope our country fails?
Right.
He's not even saying he's hoping. He says I don't even understand what that means. He says it is failing because Obama's succeeding. What?
No, to me, I'll tell you what. I didn't vote for Bush, but I took his crap for 8 years, and never once would I ever say that I hope he fails or I hope the country fails. I find that insulting, and quite frankly, Rush Limbaugh is lucky as hell that he lives in this country. Otherwise, he'd probably have his arms cut off.
Yeah.
So, you know what? The $400 million paycheck that he takes home every year, he should just shut his fat mouth. Because you know, I'm a small business owner, and I can barely even, I can't even afford health insurance. And thank you, George Bush. And, you know, you know, I'm not hoping that my country fails because of it.
Yeah. Quick correction. I don't think it's $400 million a year. I think that's over several years.
Yeah. Well, it's, and it all goes to Outback, so I think it has helped the economy in some ways. But and to his cleaning woman in packs of 10,000, you know, 20s, unmarked bills. And you know what? You can't have health care as a small business person that's affordable, I'm sorry, because that would give you the opportunity to compete with people who've had entrenched businesses for decades and are running the companies that their grandfather started with no effort at all. And if you got a real run at them, they would have to compete on a level playing field with you, and we just can't allow that to happen. So you're not allowed to have health care. So that keeps you in a ditch trying to dig your way out just selling cookies, whatever cute little business you get to run while they get to be in the financial industry.
Chris in Santa Fe, New Mexico. You're on with Hal Sparks on the Supreme Court battle. Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. You know, I'm kind of wondering if Cheney and his scary, scary daughter, because they're out on the fascism follies, are going to be doing a riff on Judge Sotomayor. I just, what is it with those two anyway? It's kind of like Heinrich Himmler at a clam bake.
Oh, clam bake, I get it. Yeah. Listen.
Hey, go ahead.
I don't think they will touch on that. I think they're going to touch. The only legal interest they have right now is keeping his butt from having to testify in front of Congress from being the point of view of being a private citizen, because he's outlived his, you know, executive privilege window.
Yeah.
And that's really what this is about. This is what this whole march is about, just, you know, peeing in the jury pool. That's all they're doing.
Yeah. He still won't shut up, by the way. He was just on TV yesterday saying that we should have let General Motors fail. Okay, Mr. Potter.
Yeah,
whatever.
Right, exactly.
He said they should have let, he wished that Bush had let GM go bankrupt.
Well, of course, because it's what he started. You have to understand, this wasn't an accident.
Right.
Nobody didn't see this coming. This absolutely was planned. Here was what the plan was: a U-shaped recession put in by the Republicans to torpedo whoever was running for the Democratic nomination.
Yep.
But the problem was the rest of the country didn't take the bait fast enough, so it turned into an L-shaped depression, basically, right at the end.
Yeah.
And screwed McCain instead of whoever, you know, Hillary or Obama, who was going to be there.
Right.
They planned this from the beginning, and they were going to weed out certain companies that were competing with a lot of their big contributors. This was there was no accident to any of this. These kind of things don't happen like that. And they spent 8 years making sure it happened.
Yeah. Speaking of Cheney, by the way.
Other than that, I have no opinion.
Remember the other thing? Thank you. You're so shy.
I know.
Remember the other thing they always said about you have to listen to the generals on the ground. You got to listen to the generals. You have to listen to the generals. You're not listening to the generals. And so General Petraeus now has come out and said Dick Cheney is a hole, and so has General James Jones, listening to the generals on the ground.
Yeah.
The generals on the ground.
Huh. Right. Now that I'm allowed to do it as a general because he's no longer the vice president and second in line to be the presidency, I can say the truth, and that's exactly what they're doing. And
they're all going, the same thing.
Close Guantanamo, and Obama's right to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. General James Jones, who is the National Security Advisor, he laid out a sweeping rebuttal to Dick Cheney, his charge that America is less safe, pointing to increases in defense spending, efforts to get out of Iraq and revamp the strategy for Afghanistan, and a broad campaign to repair the U.S. reputation abroad. Retired Marine General James Jones said the nation is safer today than it has been. Take that, Dick.
Oops.
he said, I firmly believe the United States is not only safe, but will be more secure, and the American people are increasingly safer because of the president's leadership that he has displayed consistently over the last 4 months.
On the ground.
Right.
Shut up.
They're not. Look, I'm supposed to tell you how to feel and think.
Jones said that Gitmo has served as a recruitment tool for insurgents. And has probably created more terrorists than it has detained.
Of course it has. And I love how they're like, oh, no, we don't want the people here, because they'll be walking the streets. Yeah, like all those people want to catch a predator who get immediately released. Sure. It doesn't work that way. They go to jail, to the supermax prison.
Yeah.
Here's what I think they've seen Tango and Cash too many times. There's this idea that,
and who hasn't, really?
Yes, well, you can't see it too many times. That's my feeling. But you can never see that movie enough to understand what's going on. Anyways, but they're always, I think they all envision the, terrorists attacking the nearest town to a supermax prison and holding people hostage to get, al-Mahalabi, released, which I think was Gene Simmons' character in Wanted Dead or Alive. But, but that's their big fear, is that it's going to be this big, Jefferson, Indiana has a supermax prison nearby, and we love having it here because it's great jobs, until they put a terrorist there, and then the terrorists are going to come here and blow up Jefferson, Indiana. Yeah, it's not going to happen.
And Jack Bauer comes in and tortures someone.
Exactly. Thank God at the last minute.
Saves them. Damn it. Steve in Orange County, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on Rush. Hello, Steve.
Hey, how are you guys? Hey,
good.
I was just hoping that maybe we could just stop talking about Rush because, I think he's just a bit of a celebutard. I mean, the more people talk about him, the more press he gets, the more popular it makes him. In my opinion, he's just a guy who takes hillbilly heroin who goes to the Dominican Republic to meet underage boys.
Don't forget the permanent stiffy he has from off-market Viagra.
Right,
Jim?
Stunt Viagra. Right. I think you're right on one instance, because you certainly don't want to give more attention than is due to your opponent. You really do want to focus, for the most part, on what you want to happen, not what you don't want to happen anymore. But in Limbaugh's case, it's actually, did you see the thing on Oberman where he wants them to stop talking about him because it is doing damage? Because he's one of those guys where he's a bacterial infection, and sunlight, does help in those in those situations. He needs sunlight and maggots set upon him to strip away the dead flesh of his argument, as it were. And in all honesty,
Hal Sparks is speaking in a theoretical sense. The Stephanie Miller Show does not believe that
setting maggots loose on Rush Limbaugh.
Rush Limbaugh, yeah. because it would take too long to eat him. Frankly,
yeah, they only eat dead flesh, and they would seize his dinner. Because he's, very rosy and alive and full of whatever blubbery substance.
Back to the Supreme Court fight. Senator Pat Roberts, Republican of Kansas, on Sonia Sotomayor.
Well, I'm a Marine.
Uh-oh.
And
that
doesn't much scares me. And so basically, that's not going to be a consideration in my vote. I voted no in 1998. I did not feel that she was appropriate on the appeals court. Since that time, she has made statements on the role of the appeals court that I think is improper.
Yeah, that was the aforementioned joke that she was clearly making a joke.
Yes, as a Marine, I will storm the beach of decision and run through the sands of weighing political opinion versus legal decision.
Semper Fi is Latin for no Latinos.
Right, exactly, right.
All right, the Roe v. Wade issue is cropping its head during this nomination. We will tell you what both sides are saying as we continue. 42 minutes after the hour, Hal Sparks live in the studio with us on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You commie, homo-loving sons of guns.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 46 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Art in Chicago wants to defend Rush Limbaugh. Hello, Art.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Yeah, listen, I got my ARP people listening to Rush Limbaugh, and I told them, you know what, there's an 820 station in Chicago here. Let's listen to, you got to listen to both sides. So after, I said, you got to listen to them for a week. So so they did. And I said, what's the feedback? She said, one bakes real sweet bread, one's got real sour bread. Now, this is ARP. I'm getting people on ARP listening to Limbaugh like crazy.
Ah.
But they got to listen to both sides. See, they
am I the maker of the sour bread?
Oh, you betcha.
Oh.
Like today, you want him to die? Or somebody wanted him to
no,
die.
No, nobody
wants
him to
die.
They want him maggot. Yeah, he's a maggot. In
no, he's not a maggot. That wasn't the point either.
When people talk like that, I know they're on the losing side. You follow me?
No, because it's a joke. Here's the difference. Here's the difference.
We talk politics. It's a joke, okay?
No. It's a very serious issue.
Yeah,
but just because you take
Ritchie's a... Jim Ritchie's a joke, too, isn't he?
Who?
The white man that got put down because there wasn't enough black people. Whoa, that's fine. That's beautiful. That's
the what?
Nice. That came right out of...
Oh. A white... What?
Oh,
a white man was put to sleep earlier on the show? Okay.
Scott,
all right.
Scott from Massachusetts.
Oh, crazy religious right-wing Scott. Yes.
Oh, right.
Okay.
By
you
way,
see...
Sourdough bread is delicious, but it's from San Francisco.
Absolutely,
so
yeah.
You can't have that.
And
you
it
see?
May make you gay, so you have to be very careful. By
you
the way,
see how Sparks with your crazy maggot joke about
Rush
Limbaugh?
Actually, Chipino makes you gay.
Huh?
Chipino.
Once again,
okay. Yeah.
The Stephanie Miller Show or Hal Sparks do not want Rush Limbaugh to be eaten by maggots.
No, and I said
we
they
apologize.
Wouldn't even do it because maggots don't eat living flesh. They're made. It was a reference to the fact that science is actually finding that they use maggots to clean out dead wounds
yes.
and eat away dead flesh so that you can actually heal. That was what the reference was to, Art. But you grew up in a generation where maggots were just icky, and I understand that. And you're older, and you're just discovering what an iPhone is, and it'll all work out. One of these days, it makes you feel like you're on the deck of the Star Trek Enterprise, and that's a good thing. So, before you feel like a Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's court. Now
there's no dial on this phone.
Yeah, right. I broke my finger poking the thing.
He's waiting for the rotary.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't.
Yeah.
This happened too fast.
Where do you plug it into the wall?
I can already hear the voices on the other end.
I love how people will compare your show or even Oberman or Rachel Maddow to Limbaugh and Hannity and Beck as if, like, just having, like, the ballasty two sides of an argument makes them equal, that there's this artificial parity. When literally, you know, on their show... Limbaugh is calling for the failure of the country, essentially. And throughout all this, as mad as we've ever gotten, we've always gone, I just hope it works.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
At least I hope it works.
Exactly.
You know,
this Iraq thing doesn't seem like a good idea to me.
And we've attempted to maintain a sense of humor. And I think that's why. Most people who listen to that, they lose all their irony or their ability to read sarcasm in any way.
Yes.
Because everything that Hannity and Beck and Limbaugh say about in a negative sense that we would go, I'm kidding, of course. I don't want, that to happen. They really do mean it.
Jack in L.A., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jack.
Hey.
Hi, Jack.
Hi.
Oh, see?
Yeah. Now what I've done. Now Homeland Security is going to come
there
in.
You
terrific.
Go. Now the FAA is going to call as well. Yeah. Go ahead, Jack.
Thank you. Well, I agree with everything that was just said about Rush Limbaugh. I think he's a total tool bag, but Sparks, I think you are too, man, because, listen,
thanks.
Here's the deal. No,
a tool
you
bag.
Just said a little bit ago. You just...
Oh, dear. That seemed like such a good criticism of you.
I know.
You.
I was
However,
waiting for it. All I heard was tool bag, and then he had to go to Bluetooth. Was it the technology thing?
So now we'll never know all the horrible things that Hal Sparks may be.
I know.
All right.
Well, I'm sure you can look it up on the web. I mean, anybody's IMDb page will have a series of diatribes.
You were telling a story during the break about, that obviously this president has both sides annoyed at certain things.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, and I think that's part of the political maneuvering. I think that's kind of smart political maneuvering when you're trying to get something actually done in the country. If you blatantly appeal to either side, and Bush did it all the time, too. I mean, they would sort of push their right-wing people out there to do the work, but then, move themselves away from it. And now that Obama's doing it, they're like, but that's not fair. They're using our own tools against us. How's that? That's not fair.
Well, people are concerned about the choice issue with Sonia Sotomayor.
Right.
The White House says Obama didn't ask her specifically her view of Roe v. Wade or privacy rights. But as a presidential candidate in 2007, he said, I would not appoint somebody who doesn't believe in the right to privacy. So it's all that very veiled sort of CNN reporter with Robert Gibbs yesterday.
Why wasn't it important for him to ask her about where she stood?
Well, on abortion? I think the president believed it was exceedingly important to get her views on how she interprets the living document of the Constitution of the United States of America.
Some abortion rights supporters say they take heart in her reputation as a judge who respects precedent and exercises restraint in her rulings. But one of the physicians for reproductive rights, the head of that, said, we're hoping and counting on her respect for past legal precedent as an encouraging sign, but we don't have any direct evidence. Sure, we're concerned. I think most people are on our, who are on our side are concerned, but we're happy to take a wait-and-see attitude. And then somebody from the pro-life group said there's always the hope that she could truly be Justice Souter's opposite, which is what we're afraid of.
Right.
It gives some consolation that they're concerned.
It's the difficulty.
So they're happy that we're concerned, that we don't know how
yeah.
she would vote.
Well, it's a, this is where we've run into, is that like on both sides, is that the pro-choice side cannot outwardly go, we found a pro-choice advocate, because they know they'll get hit hard from the so-called pro-life organizations. And then the pro-life organization needs that kind of instant confirmation. They need somebody to say without any ambivalency, you know, that they support
right.
pro-life. And you can't have either way, because you're going to be dealing with precedent. So neither side can be happy. And the Republicans have set themselves up over the last few decades of using it as a wedge issue, using it to drive voting, but never actually doing anything about it.
Right.
And that's what they've, you know, that's their difficulty right now, is that they can't, you know.
Yep.
Yeah.
Jack is back to tell us why House
Parks. Oh, he's good. Okay, why am I tool bag? Yeah.
Why is he a tool bag? Hi, Jack.
Hi. Hey, thanks for taking the call again.
Absolutely.
Listen, Hal, what you said a little bit about the Republicans and in my...
I said a lot about them, so you're going to have to be specific.
Let me be specific. When you said that they engineered the economic collapse, they set everything up, listen, they had power, but not that much power, and it took a long time to get where we're at. So I think, and to be fair, let's talk about just this most recent election. President Obama took more money from Wall Street than all the other presidential candidates combined. And so we got to look at who he's surrounded with.
Wait,
too.
Jack, are you saying that none of the economy has anything to do with Bush administrations or their policies or deregulation?
No, for sure it does.
And
no,
by the way, that when I was talking about that, I was being very specific in that I was not referring to Republicans even in general. I was speaking specifically of Bush, Cheney, and their cabal, as
Jack,
it were.
Have you driven into the ocean now? What's happening?
We keep losing you.
Do you guys have me?
Yes.
There you are. Yes.
Okay. They did not have. Okay, I agree with you that Bush did an exponential amount of damage. However, that what it took to get here, trade policy, so many different components. You can't just lay it.
No, I'm not saying. Believe me, you and I agree that there are elements of our economy that were built on what the Chinese would call feng pi, butt air, because it was all, you know, this artificial house of cards that was set up for a long time. But what Bush and Cheney did specifically was allow things to basically call off the dogs at the SEC and go, don't pay any attention to this stuff for the last 3 years specifically, knowing that there would be a crisis on purpose in line with what they did in Georgia. And
One more point. You've got to lay this at the feet of the incumbents, too. I mean,
No, I don't. He's been in for 170 days. There's no...
Listen, No, not Obama. I'm talking about the legislative branch during the last presidency. No checks, no balances.
Well, exactly.
I agree.
Yeah, exactly.
I agree. But I also... But I lay that more at the American people's feet, too, because there was a... You know, they said, you know, it's unpatriotic to say anything, and the vast majority of people went, yeah, you're right.
You got caught up in a protest where? Outside the White House the other day?
No. Close enough. At the Beverly Hilton. You know, the Beverly Hills version of the White House.
Yeah.
Where the president was for the fundraiser last night.
Yeah.
We were outside, and I was with the anti-Prop 8, or actually the pro-equality, I mm-hmm. like to say, group. And we were right next to the anti-torture,
right.
Which I don't know what their pro version would be. I don't know what their pro-label is. But I'm sure it's pro-freedom and safety and rule of law and pro-habeas corpus. Let's just say
yes.
that. And good folks. But I got, like, I literally got into almost an hour and a half long debate with one of the guys there. And the funny thing is, we were talking across purposes. And Chris and I were talking during the break that uh-huh. this is the difficult part of being pragmatic and actually wanting solutions to all these things, and yet there's so much emotion built up.
Right.
You find mm-hmm. yourself having to have emotional arguments with people you agree with. Like, I am totally on the side of
yeah.
of closing Guantanamo and stopping yeah. torture and prosecuting the people who are involved.
Mm-hmm.
That's the key goal for me. How we get there is less important, and if it doesn't rush the way I think it should, that's less important.
Well, it's
to me.
The whole Obama is playing chess, the rest of us are playing checkers kind of thing. But I mean, people in the gay community are getting, you know, obviously, like, he's not saying anything about gay marriage. He's not, don't ask, don't tell. It's, you know, so there are, you know, I understand people on.
But he did form a commission and is basically waiting for the generals to tell him what he knows they will tell him, which is it wouldn't hurt anything. And that way it cuts the legs out from under the argument as soon as he makes the policy change.
Yep.
As opposed to going, what do the generals think for the next 6 months after he says, I'm going to turn it down?
All right. 57 minutes after the hour, back with the Reverend Jim Wallace and Melissa Etheridge.
And Hal Sparks.
And Hal Sparks. True. Oh, what a show. Don't go away. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Happy Friday. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. The official rock star of the Stephanie Miller Show, Melissa Etheridge, coming up on the Celebrity Hotline in less than half an hour. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Also, Hal Sparks will be at the Brea Improv. There's a we have a link on StephanieMiller.com to get tickets
lovely
for that.
Thank you.
If you're out in here in Los Angeles.
Yes.
All right. Lots of big news. Of course, the Supreme Court fight rages on. You know, Justice Samuel Alito back in, well, that was a long time ago, in 2006, he seemed to be expressing some sort of empathy. Of
when I have cases involving children, I can't help but think of my own children.
What?
And think about my children being treated in the way that children may be treated in the case that's before me.
You can't think of the children or have feelings.
Empathy.
Empathy.
That is gay in French. It's somebody French. Please think of the children.
Empathy is gay in French, indeed. Mm-hmm. All right. Also,
and why Jesus was sent here, for the record.
We're going to
it
talk
is.
To someone that knows a little something about
I know.
That in
I'm
just
very
a moment.
Excited about that conversation.
We just talked about Don't Ask, Don't Tell, a CNN reporter yesterday.
When is the White House going to push Congress to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell?
Well, I think we've done this answer a few times. It is something the president supports. He does not think the policy is working in the national interest, and is working with the Joint Chiefs, the Pentagon, and others to bring about a change in that policy.
What would Jesus do? Hal Sparks asks. If only there was somebody that could ask. Jim?
It's the founder of Sojourners and the author of God's Politics, Reverend Jim Wallace.
Yay!
He's our favorite. He's the official Reverend of the Stephanie Miller Show. Good morning, Reverend.
Hey, Stephanie, every so often I wake up and the Holy Spirit tells me, call Steph.
Oh, boy.
This was one of those mornings, you know.
Oh, boy. The Holy Spirit, not a very good PR person. But anyway.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing? So much to talk about.
Yeah.
Let's talk about, first of all, the Supreme Court nomination. About Sonia Sotomayor.
I was there for the announcement, and I was sitting about four persons down from her mom.
Her mom was a mess, wasn't she?
Here's this Puerto Rican immigrant family. Sonia loses her dad when she's 9, and here's a single mom, nurse, doing two jobs to raise her kids in the projects in the Bronx. And here's her daughter being named to be a Supreme Court justice. And, you know, the tears were just flowing. And the mom was, you know, Sonia says, I'm half the woman my mother is.
Oh, I know. That got me, too.
You know, and I'll tell you, sometimes some of us kind of despaired of, you know, this American story even being true anymore. You know, to be honest, we get cynical and... But this was an American story if there ever... This is an American story.
Well, according to the right wing, though, it's only the American dream if you turn out to be Republican.
You know, I was hearing what you said earlier. It's amazing. These kind of white men of power talk about the objective interpretation of the law. And they seem to have no clue that being a white male with power has a perspective on the law. But when some Hispanic woman, well, she might bring her perspective. My goodness, because we white guys, we just interpret the law objectively. I mean, these guys have no clue.
Since when did empathy become a bad thing?
Yeah.
It seemed Jesus had a skosh of that.
Yes.
Well, he wouldn't have been your best Supreme Court nominee.
No. Dear, he would never have gotten through.
I'm of the belief that the purpose of Jesus' life was actually empathetic, that God actually, if this is your religious belief, that God created Jesus specifically for empathy, because God has no idea what it's like to be in flesh and deal with the realities of being human, his own creation. So he sent his son so he could understand what they're going through. And that was the whole point of us not being guilty of sin anymore, as it were. Or saved, as it were.
Definitely. You have a theologian on your staff.
He's just been added this morning.
This is amazing. See, my notion of the incarnation is in Jesus, God hits the streets.
Right. Yeah, but and one of the, obviously Jesus made discoveries over the course of his life and reflected on those discoveries and knew what it was like. The idea of him being able to be tempted in the first place meant that he had to realize what it was like to be human.
Right. Well, and Reverend Wallace,
and that's empathy.
It seems like, I know you had a lot of thoughts. You wrote a great piece on the President Obama's speech on national security and then the Cheney speech right after it.
Well, I think this was the dueling speech. I was in Germany. I was overseas, and I heard about this thing. So that night, I turned the computer and watched them both back to back. It was amazing. I've never seen such a clear, rare moment of clarity, a moral clash in the interpretation of reality. As stark as contrast of like competing visions for what our national security ought to be. I mean, here's the president in the National Archives saying, I'm standing here, we're here, and the Bill of Rights is here, and the Declaration of Independence is here, and the Constitution is here. These are our values. And he's saying, if we fail to keep our values, we've lost what makes this country different. He said, I believe with every fiber of my being that in the long run we cannot keep this country safe unless we enlist the power of our most fundamental values. He said that they've been our best national security asset. Now Cheney turns around and says, it would be to rule out enhanced interrogation methods is unwise in the extreme. It is recklessness cloaked in righteousness that would make the people...
Phony moralizing to say that you think torture is wrong.
Indignation, I want to say Dick Cheney represents the dark side of America.
Yeah.
He just does.
Well, for a party that it's always claiming Christianity and moral values, Jesus, as someone that was tortured, I think we know where he would come down in this debate.
Well, you either want to express your values in the world as a national security asset, or you want a world dominated by a combination of fear and self-righteousness. That's Dick Cheney. Fear and self-right. Now, that's a deadly combination, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
So there's your choice. There's your choice. Which America do you want?
Yep.
Do you want Dick Cheney's world or Barack Obama's world? I think that's, at the end, I was breathless after Cheney's speech. And then I thought to myself, well, one of the speeches took place in the National Archives to a tumultuous response, and that is now the governing view of this country. And the other took place in a more and more marginal right-wing think tank to tepid applause.
An underground lair.
And I just thought, thanks be to God.
There you go. Reverend Wallace, a lot of obviously social issues in the news, what with the Supreme Court nomination and Prop 8 being upheld, and now this new lawsuit with Ted Olson and David Boies. What are your thoughts on Prop 8?
You mean the California?
Yeah, the decision.
Well, I think I love the common ground approach that Barack talked about at Notre Dame on a whole lot of things. You get abortion, pro-life, pro-choice, but let's find the common ground in reducing abortions. And equal protection under the law for gay and lesbian people ought to be a common ground that people who have different views about gay marriage ought to to affirm. Then the question, what does that mean? What does equal protection require? And that'll be fought out now around the country. What does it require? Is it require civil unions, or does it require full marriage rights? The principle, and this should be affirmed even by those who have theological concerns about homosexuality, equal protection under the law for all of God's children.
Well, it seems like that's what Ted Olson is saying, isn't he? That this is, you know, when you talk about separation of church and state, that this is a constitutional right, that we just can no longer say, you know, that the separate but equal is fair.
Well, you can't you can't impose theology on what ought to be basic human rights. I mean, I said this at Focus on the Family, Stephanie, in Colorado Springs. I was there having a debate, and I said, you know, finally, equal protection under the law for all of God's children is something that we must affirm, no matter what we think about what the Bible says about homosexuality.
Well, doesn't actual moral the moral argument get lost the minute you pass a law against something to some degree anyways, especially if it's just something you would disagree with as opposed to something like theft and murder, which we can all kind of agree in a very specific way. But if you say, I have a moral issue with a certain type of behavior, once you outlaw it, it no longer becomes an issue of morality or even worthy of a discussion of morality. You're just making it illegal.
Yeah.
And therefore, it kind of strips us from our ability to make a moral point. I guess theft is an easy one. I don't steal because I think it's wrong, but we have to pass a law because there's no debate when somebody actually steals something.
And what's interesting about Obama is whether it be his speech on national security, his appointment of the first Hispanic woman to the Supreme Court, is what's coming across clearly. A journalist called me yesterday and said, you know, Obama talks about Jesus more than Bush did.
Mm-hmm.
Obama's talking about morality and ethics and religion more than Bush did. What's going on here? And I said, well, I've known him for 10 years. He didn't just do this when he got to the White House. This is in him. It's sort of
right.
Part of his language. And yet, you also told this journalist, you also have to recognize there's a fierce commitment here to pluralism and diversity and the role of non-believers in a society. He simply raised them as important as believers. So it was a wonderful paradox of saying we have there's a real asset here of morality and faith and values, ethics, and yet we are a secular in nation, not you know, separation of church and state is important to him.
Yep.
While he realizes there's a tremendous value and asset and resource that we derive from our faith tradition. It's a wonderful combination.
Paradox. Yep, Reverend Jim Wallace, I love you in a godly way, as you know.
Yes.
Well, I love your show, and every time the Holy Spirit prompts, I will call you.
Yeah,
that's sweet.
Tell that Holy Spirit we need him to step up the bookings a little bit.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you, sir. Reverend Jim Wallace, thanks as always, sir.
Bless you.
God bless you, sir.
Thank you, Reverend Jim.
I got a blessing, Mike.
You did. Without even sneezing. That's the nice part when you talk to a real reverend is you don't have to actually sneeze to get that. You're going to only get it from a layperson when you sneeze.
Now back to the money changers in the temple. Ken in Cleveland wants to know what you got to sell, Hal Sparks.
Yeah.
Hi, Ken.
Hey, I'm a big 01 fan. You got a new CD coming out?
Actually, yeah. I'm working on the second record now. It's called The Sacred Nothing, and hopefully it'll be up and out by August. It takes a little time because I, you know, obviously I my own label, so it you know, that's the only way to do it these days, really.
You had to hire kids that used to work for Kathy Lee Gifford.
Totally.
Yeah.
But it's really good, and actually we're going to do a show late June opening for a band here in L.A. called Steel Panther. They're an 80s metal cover band, and they're awesome.
I know them. They're good.
Yeah, I sing with them occasionally on Monday nights. If you ever get a chance and you're, you have nothing to do on a Monday night at midnight, that's the best place to go in the world.
I just want to call someone and go, you want to go see Hal Sparks sing with an 80s metal cover band tonight?
And you'll hear a screaming yes and a lot of giggling on the other end. But yeah, it's called The Sacred Nothing. And the second, I'm a big believer that you're not a real band until you have three records out. So, you know, I'm very excited to get the second one out, and I'm even, you know, kind of conceptualizing what the third one will be. Of course, since we have a metal band, it'll have to be borderline rock opera concept album. So
we'll ask them.
Yeah.
We'll ask Melissa Etheridge what she thinks of your little band when she calls in a couple of minutes.
She won't like it.
20 minutes.
She won't like it at all.
Hey, Dad, Hal Sparks' dad's got a barn. Want to come put on a show with him, Melissa?
Right, exactly.
20 minutes after the hour, right back with comedian Hal Sparks live in the studio as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
This
whole place just feels like a warm blanket.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 24 minutes after the hour, doing the really important things during the commercial breaks. Jim, what are the fun facts on our drinks?
A rusty nail is a classic anytime cocktail.
Yes.
It combines a fine scotch with a sweet honey taste of Drambuie.
Anytime
Drambuie. Because it's actually a scotch-based liqueur from France. That's why it's Drambuie.
Mm.
A rocks glass with ice, 1.5 ounces of scotch, 1/2 ounce Drambuie.
Okay.
Pour the Drambuie last to allow it to mix with lighter scotch.
Thank you.
Rob Roy is a Scotch Manhattan. That is 1.5 ounces of scotch and 1/4 ounce sweet vermouth.
And the blood of an English.
No, hell sparks.
You hold your head of your enemy over the bottle.
That's right.
And you drive it down. Yeah. And scream freedom as you pound them back.
I'm not a mixologist like Rachel Maddow, nor do I get to see my future husband, Keith Olbermann, every night like she does. However, he doesn't steal stuff from Rachel Maddow, but he steals stuff from me like this.
Dun, 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 dun.
I think he likes me. He wants to kiss me. Okay.
Well, he does have good taste. Have you seen those ties? They're spectacular.
Oh, Hal Sparks.
It's true.
Tim in South Bend, Indiana. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Hal Sparks. Hi, Tim.
Hey, Stephanie. I like you, too.
Thank you.
And I just wanted to let you know that the Holy Spirit has inspired me to call South Bend Notre Dame, Indiana.
Wow, right on.
Touchdown, Jesus.
Yes, yes. And, I wanted to appeal to that elderly gentleman.
Art.
That his group listens to the Stephanie Miller Show and Rush Limbaugh.
Mm-hmm.
And, boy, I hope they continue to listen to you because, you know, you not only educate us, but, you know, you give us some true facts of what's going on, but make us laugh at the same time.
As opposed to the false facts that you get on the other side, yes.
Well, yeah, I mean, let's face it, Rush will give you some things that may be true, but that's where they get people to go, oh, yeah, I agree with that.
Or they sound true-ish.
Yes. And then you turn around and go, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Of course I'm, you know, pro-America and pro-patriot and all this. But once you listen, once you really do the investigation, you realize they're just, they're twisting it.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. Exactly.
Yes, they're pulling it from a very special place. The whole idea is, and anytime you're trying to create a narrative of your own, is that you use certain facts that are indisputable or certain statements that are indisputable. Like, look, every American wants to be a better person. And then you follow it up with, and to be a better person means that we have to make sure there are no Hispanic female, and you're like, everything is, on a sane person will give you a record scratch moment, but that's how, listen to Glenn Beck, he'll do his big phrase is common sense. It's common sense. These are just common sense. I don't want the government in my bedroom. I just want them in gay people's bedrooms. You're like, wait a minute, hold on, what?
Yeah.
That's how you do it. That's, he's absolutely right.
Beth in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Hal as well. Hi, Beth.
Good morning, Steffi.
Good morning.
I called because, first of all, I had a dream about you.
Ooh.
And secondly, I had a quick question for the Ask Hal Sparks segment of the program. Okay, first of all, I dreamed that you wanted to show me your new dog, your new puppy.
Oliver, mommy's new puppy.
Have more, please.
And he was so sweet, but I said, Steffi, this isn't a dog, this is a cat. That was my dream.
This call is best spent to your psychologist, but thanks for okay. All right. And you want to ask Hal Sparks what?
I want to ask him a quick question.
Sure.
Okay, Hal, have you been following the economic news, particularly from Keynesian economists like Ravi Batra, who is predicting now, and also the B1 section of the New York Times?
Dear God, you're too bookish for us.
Hold on. I was very excited about that.
We'll have Hal answer that and... the official rock star of the Stephanie Miller Show, Melissa Etheridge, next.
But I could have, on the Stephanie Miller Show.
No, don't speak.
Hey, don't you talk to her like that.
Stephanie Miller.
It's as cool as the other side of the pillow.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll-free from anywhere to join the party. And we have exciting news. It looks like Hal Sparks is going to fill in for us when we go on vacation at the end of June.
Yay!
Because Frangela is stuck in the jungle on the help. I'm a celebrity, get me out of here.
I'm a radio DJ, get me out of here. Right?
And
I'm
by
a
the way,
duo.
Their tweets this morning not looking encouraging, right, Chris? Yeah,
they're in the the 5-star hotel that they put them in.
Yeah, they said they're in the 5-star hotel in Costa Rica before they drop them in the jungle, and they're already having problems with it.
They're already bitching about the 5-star hotel.
Yeah,
you know, they asked me to do that show, and I was like, I'm not afraid of eating stuff like that, and I camped all the time. I used to teach emergency preparedness at Boy Scout camp. They're like, I'm sorry, you're no good to us. We need someone with long like nails that they need clean, you know, and done every week or whatever. That's not gonna happen. You need to be dainty.
Oh, Hal, your little stories are charming, as are your stories about your little band. But if only there were a bigger celebrity.
What? I know.
Why? Who is it, Jim?
It's the official rock star of the Stephanie Miller Show, Melissa Etheridge.
Oh, my goodness.
Good morning.
Good morning, Melissa Etheridge. By the way, we understand today's a very special day.
Yay, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. And what better way to celebrate it than being on my show?
I'm doing nothing today but be on your show.
So how are you, my friend? Not so good after the Prop 8 ruling, I'm guessing.
I'm good, but not married.
Yeah.
Still haven't made an honest woman of Tammy.
Oh. Now, because I remember you saying that you didn't get married because you didn't want it to be overturned, but obviously now they upheld them. How do you...
Well, you know what?
Has that caused a lot of fights in the household?
Oh,
I told you we should have gone.
There was a look for a moment. I went, now, wait a minute.
You said they wouldn't be upheld. Oh.
You know, it was, I didn't, I was out of, I was touring when all the last summer when everyone was running out and getting married. So I wasn't even in the state. So when I got home, it was around September. And it was already, the Proposition 8 stuff started coming. And I said, you know, I don't want to run out and do this and then have it all turned over and be all crazy.
Right.
I want to know when I go down to that Justice of the Peace or whoever the civil servant is that signs that piece of paper, I want to know that that's it and that it's free and clear and, you know, my country is supportive of it.
Yep. Well, we were saying that, I mean, you've heard about this lawsuit, obviously, right? Tellison and David Boies. How do you feel about that? Because some gay groups are nervous about it. They're saying they think that it could be too soon, to go to the federal level.
Well, you know, we're a funny bunch. We don't know how to fight for our right to love anyway. You know, it's bizarre to fight for something as intimate and discreet and stuff we're not supposed to talk about, and yet we're supposed to get very loud and vocal and fight for it.
It's on the job training for everyone.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. So we're really trying to play nice and fair here and go, okay, let's do it. But I think with the way that California with Proposition 8 has stirred up so much national and international interest, I think it might be time I think people everywhere are starting to look at this and go, this is crazy. This is not America. This is the land of the free. And
right.
This is what it means.
Well, you know me. I'm a glass half full kind of gal. I'm the home of happy clappy liberalism.
Yeah.
And I was saying that, when I was at, came out for Obama a long time ago, I had mostly black people calling me saying, oh, you are a stupid, naive, liberal white woman. Wait, this country is not ready for a black president. I'm like, yes, they, So, I am heartened. I mean, when you look at places like Iowa and whatever, I feel like this is becoming inevitable. Do you?
It's totally you can't put this genie back in a bottle. We're rolling forward. Why not go for the big brass ring? Why not? Why not? If not now, when?
Well, I mean, I was saying that, particularly Prop 8 out here, I feel like, I just think people never thought it would happen in California, and somebody wrote a piece on the Huffington Post that I hope is good, that Prop 8 will actually be good for gay marriage in the long run, because they were saying, at the ballot box, we're going to be so energized next time.
Yes.
And it's going to resonate across the country.
I think that's what's happening, because I'm definitely a glass half full. The glass is totally full as far as I'm concerned. But I think that when something like this happens, it just means that it's going to be bigger and more powerful later, and you know, you can't have this now, but you can have the whole enchilada later.
Well, you know, David Hyde Pierce just on The View just talked about that he married his partner, and he's never been vocal about his private life, but
yeah.
He was talking about how angry it made him to sit in front of the television and say, you know, like he's got to sit and wait for someone to give him approval, you know,
yeah.
For his, he said, it's none of your business.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. But what I think, it's giving everyone a lesson in our Constitution and in our country, and I think that's good.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lesson that, hey, you know what, I know you'd like to think that our country was founded on great Christian, you know, men and stuff, but that's not true. They were not.
Well, I mean, it is interesting, isn't it, to see Ted Olson sitting there, right? The
yeah.
Bush lawyer. The Bush v. Gore lawyer
know.
Saying this is a constitutional right, you know, and it's, and the other thing, like you were saying, they created such a legal mess here.
Yeah.
Maybe it does help in the long term because they've created not only a second class citizens, but they didn't even resolve some issues. Like, what about people that got married elsewhere, you know,
right.
What, before Prop 8 was passed? Like, what if you got married in Massachusetts? They didn't even rule. Are those marriages still recognized here or not?
I know. So, and they can't because it's like, it's all fluffy and weird and you just can't do it.
Yeah, exactly. I was saying, I compared it to Catholic school that I was told I would go to hell if I ate meat on Friday, but then they said, never mind. So what happened to the people? Are the people technically still in hell?
Absolutely. Still people burning in hell for eating a hot dog at the wrong time.
Exactly.
Absolutely. You know, the whole house of cards starts crumbling after a while. So.
Yeah, exactly. Well, so where do you feel like the best path lies? At the ballot box or in court? I mean, I get a little nervous, too, about the Supreme Court. It's, you know, a little packed with Bush nominees right now for my liking.
Yeah, it truly is. And my father was a... he was a high school teacher, and he taught Constitution to seniors, right? So I got this sort of basic level understanding of the Constitution and what all the branches of our government is and are and supposed to be. And I do believe, I believe in constitutional law, and I believe in our Constitution, and I believe that that a Supreme Court justice, whether they were, you know, brought in under the more conservative reigns, that they can see that, you know, when you look at the Constitution, it doesn't say, you know, except for those that they think are godless, you know, or something, or
right.
Those are creating a sin, that's not what the Constitution is about, and that's what makes it such an awesome
mm-hmm.
Piece of work and makes our country so great.
Yep. I have to ask some celebrity gossip. Now, when you and Tammy go to dinner with Ellen DeGeneres and her wife, do they taunt you that they're married and you're not?
It's awful. It's horrible.
The glint of the ring must be blinding.
Do they rub it in, do they?
Yeah.
You know, the funny thing is, this morning I was thinking about it. I said, I'm married, you know,
right.
that no vote can tell me that I'm not married. I wake up in the morning, I got my twin, 2-year-old twins hanging off my leg. I'm trying to get my big kids off to school. I'm, you know, looking at my wife and doing I'm married.
And as we pointed out here on the show, you are a better parent than most since you don't let your children listen to the Stephanie Miller show.
I do not.
Mm-hmm. Good for you.
It's good insane.
For you.
No
good for
way.
You. So now you're saying George Takei does not prank call you and taunt you? No,
we're married. Because that's just bizarre. I mean, really. I really didn't think that, okay, you can be married, but you can't.
I know.
That's insanity. I mean,
right.
Even... people who are really all crazy about this, they got to see that that's crazy.
Well, yeah. That's what I mean. That's what I'm almost hoping is that, you
yeah.
know, that this piece on the Huffington Post is correct, that this almost helps
yeah.
that this is such a crazy,
yeah.
muddled legal ruling.
Like, how much sense does that make?
This is the most important question of the morning.
Of course.
How do you feel about the fact that Hal Sparks sings in a, is it an 80s metal cover band?
You know
how
what?
Do you feel about 80s metal?
Does it really have to come back, really?
No. Mine's modern metal. I just do that on the side. It's sort of like a little, you know.
Okay. It's a hobby.
Yeah, it's a all hobby. Right.
Okay, because...
But I look fantastic in leopard tights. That's all I'm saying.
I just got to tell you, there's some kids at my kids' school, some high school kids, and they think it's really cool to wear mullets and really tight pants, and I'm like, please don't bring it back.
That's more Ario Speedwagon,
I am not going back to the 80s.
Right?
Take it on the run, kid. Be
oh, man.
Melissa, I understand you have a little singing career of your own.
side of all this activism stuff that I do.
Do you have a new tour, new CD? What's going on?
What am I doing? You know what? This summer I am just doing a few. I haven't called it a tour yet, but I guess it is a little solo tour and some out of the way gigs. I'm playing the Del Mar County Fair, June the 13th, I think.
Cool.
And I think I'm going to be at the Orange County Fair, too.
Wow.
Yeah.
Going behind the orange curtain. Brave girl.
That's me. Going
Brave
down,
girl.
I'm just going to say, marriage, 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 marriage.
And all the closeted gay OC housewives will all come out and go, please.
Be slipping you their number.
Exactly. Get me out of here. Take me with you.
Someday I'll write a book.
Freedom Railroad.
Help me. You can find out more at MelissaEtheridge.com. Thank you, official rock star of The Stephanie Miller Show.
Love you all.
We love you back in an incredibly gay way.
Yes.
All right, honey. Bye.
I actually got to meet Melissa Etheridge backstage at the Letterman show when I was the first year I did Queer as Folk. I wasn't on Letterman. I went down there because I had a friend who was doing stand up and was like, here she comes. Ooh. And they kind of paraded her past. I was like, hello, Melissa. I'm playing gay on this little show. Never mind. Bye. Hello. You're very good. Goodbye.
I was talking about how people talked about how brave Sean Penn was to be a straight guy playing a game.
Yeah,
and
it must have been the hardest 6 weeks of your life. You know,
I was like, try doing it for however many years.
5 years, right, yeah. Even the gay actors on our show were tired of it after a while. Like, 5 years, but oi. You know, because I'm gay at home and I'm doubly gay at work, you know.
I have to play a lot gayer than I actually am.
And you sit there and watch the Oscars and everyone's going, wow, that's amazing. And you're like, calm down. Really? Are we at that point? I mean, honestly, we have a logo network now. Like, stop calling us brave for doing this. These are good roles, actually. It's good. We're
By
lucky
the way,
to have them.
I met Melissa Etheridge. Remember, we went, Jim, to the concert at the Greek Theater here. So we got to meet her backstage,
yes.
And I said the same thing. I said,
yeah, right.
Something.
Hello.
God,
rock stars are intimidating in person.
I've only seen two acts at the Greek Theater. Back to the Rock tour, or whatever it was, with Cinderella, Quiet Riot, and all like 80s metal,
Dokken.
Rat, yeah, and Dokken, and Weird Al. These are the two.
Oh, and she gave me the one moment in my life that then I could die now. She actually mentioned me on stage.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she said, Stephanie Miller's here. And then we said, and I was like, Jim, I'm really drunk. Did she just say?
And he went, when is that not true?
Bethany Filler.
Oh, man.
44 minutes after the hour, back with more with comedian Hal Sparks live with us in the studio on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Well, I guess that makes our naughty parts tingle.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
And in the place where you live now,
Stephanie Miller.
Think about direction, wonder why.
Stephanie Miller.
Been wondering why you have it.
You know, for years I thought he was saying, think about Tourette's and wonder why. Think about Tourette's and wonder why. Bleep, 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 bleep.
Right. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Why, how dare you not play a Melissa Etheridge bump song, for God's sakes.
Oh, sorry.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. If you missed the Melissa Etheridge interview, it'll be up on stephaniemiller.com after the show. The official rock star of the Stephanie Miller Show. You know, we forgot to ask her, because she at one point threatened, she said, look, if I can't have the same rights as everyone else, I'm not going to pay my taxes. And trust me, we're bankrupt in California. Just her and Ellen's scratch could save our entire...
Yeah.
We need her scratch.
Keep all the Coke machines in the L.A. school district for the next year.
All right. We were talking earlier about George Bush. Got a little chatty last night at the, where was this, the university in Michigan?
In Michigan, yeah.
Mm. He repeated Dick Cheney's assertion that the administration's torture program was legal and garnered valuable information that prevented terrorist attacks. And keep talking, chatty.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll get this on record for the Hague.
Obama's baiting is working. It's like he's tossed a dollar bill on the sidewalk with a black string attached to it. He's just kind of dragging it in. They're chasing it into a bear trap. It's really nice.
Yeah. We just want to get you on record here.
I ordered it.
Yeah.
And I do it again.
Right, exactly.
I told him how to do it.
Can you say this into a recorder?
Absolutely.
Tony.
Going in my memoirs.
Tony in Los Angeles. Tony, you're on with Hal Sparks about the Supreme Court fight. Hi, Tony.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I was calling about Mrs. Sotomayor it really kills me. Like the minister said earlier, you know, all these white men talk about, well, only the best legal minds can be, you know, come on. Like, oh, they're the only ones that
right.
can have a well-trained legal mind. And let's face it, it's been a lot of mediocre white men on the Supreme Court. And
don't forget the mediocre black man.
Well, he ain't black. I'm not claiming him.
Well, I think it is very fascinating that you go, we've spent the better part. It's sort of Pat Buchanan's argument is we spent the better part of the last 40 years disenfranchising minorities and making sure they don't get in positions of power. And then this guy gets in and he's letting them through. Just so what that they work hard and they're actually qualified? That's not the point.
Bill in Orange County on the Supreme Court. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Steph. Ironic that your previous caller was talking about Sotomayor. Clarence Thomas is the perfect juxtaposition because while the conservatives have labeled Sotomayor as a racist and being dumb, of course, Clarence Thomas played the race card in his nomination.
Right.
But what few people know is that while Sotomayor was the editor of the Yale Law Review, my sources tell me Clarence Thomas is the only Yale Law grad ever to have a full-time three-year tutor provided by the university.
Ah, well, and he got in on affirmative action, which, of course, he's against now.
Well, I was going to say, which is perfect background for him to go under tutelage to Scalia on the Supreme Court.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, he's had a tutor the entire time he's there as well. It's good. It must be nice.
He needs a tutor.
That's cool.
Full-time.
You got training wheels. We have a justice with training wheels. That's, you know. Whoa. Where's my staff going? Oh, it's
every
write
opinion
your own
he
opinion
writes,
week.
Every opinion he writes is the same.
Nobody told me that.
What he said. What Scalia said.
Right, yeah.
Katie
where's
and Madison.
Where's my stamp? Someone took my stamp.
Katie and Madison.
Hi, I was wondering if California has common law marriages, and if so, if the gay and lesbian couples that would have qualified during that narrow interval are now married, even though they don't have a certificate.
Oh, great. Now look what you've done. Brought up yet another thing they didn't rule on or even think about when they advanced their opinion. Yes.
No.
They're confused by the law as it is, much less you adding sensibility and respect to the whole equation. Yeah.
All right. President Obama yesterday exhorted his supporters on a conference call to help lobby for health care, warning if we don't get it done this year, we're not going to get it done. He said this is our big chance to prove that the movement that started during the campaign isn't over. He said, I think the status quo is unacceptable and we have to get it done this year, which I agree with. However, guess who's against getting a health care this year? The people who brought you the teabagging.
What a surprise.
Can I have my scary music, please?
Yeah. Hey, excuse me, I got to vote against my own best interests again. Do you mind?
The teabaggers, they've launched anti-healthcare reform ads. Are you
good.
Ready for this? The it's a right-wing group called Americans for Prosperity. Because the rest of us
right,
are.
Right, because yeah.
Yeah, the rest of us are not for that. Yeah, I love that's like a, what's the name of the group I love, Chris? The Concerned Women for America, because I'm president of women who don't give a. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. They will launch a $1.7 million TV ad campaign claiming that President Obama's health care plan is the same as Canadian-style health care.
If only.
Yeah, exactly. I know I'm going, that's bad. The ad fearmongers on the issue of wait times, featuring a Canadian woman who intones, as my brain tumor got worse, my government health care system told me I had to wait 6 months to see a specialist. I would have died under Canada's system.
Not so much.
I mean, yeah, sometimes there are long wait times, but why can't we have a hybrid thing where
we have public schools and private schools.
Yes.
We have police, and you can buy private security if you want to afford extra security for yourself. The whole point is we have this socialist, as it were, structure, supposedly, that everybody's so afraid of that we use all the time.
Right.
You can even have your own private fireman if you want. I mean, obviously, they usually take off their outfit
like
and dance around.
That.
Yeah. But still, the point being is that we have all these public and private things, and it hasn't killed that private industry at all. I have Brinks on my home, and it hasn't put Brinks out of business that I have cops on my street. You know,
The
same thing would happen with healthcare. If you have this basic level, and here's my big favorite argument for public healthcare: contagious disease.
Yeah.
People who don't have healthcare wait 3 days longer to go to the emergency room than people who don't, or who do rather. And so that's 3 days where they come in contact with over 100 people. Those 100 people come in contact with over 60,000 people.
And they tell two friends.
And all of us have swine flu.
Scary music again. The ad continues. Liberals in Washington want to bring Canadian-style health care to the U.S. In fact, actually, neither Obama nor Democratic leaders are proposing a single-payer system, which should.
Yeah, which would be great, actually.
Yes,
actually.
They are bringing Canadian bacon into the system, though, which I think is great.
So they were
incorrect. It's not bacon. It's ham. Yes. Just because you cut it in a circle doesn't make it... it's still ham. Canadian ham.
Right. The far right, by the way, is dismayed that the NRA is not getting into the Sotomayor fight because I don't know. They Ken Blackwell, I guess.
The judge is one of only three out of 170 appellate court judges that believes that state and local laws trump our federal rights to bear arms. And that's very, very disturbing.
Did he just argue against states' rights?
Yes.
Did I just hear what I thought I heard? Yes. Did one of these states' right people actually just go, like, we can't have the states deciding what's okay in their cities and towns?
And last time you were here, Hal, I believe you stood up for a person's right to blow a kitten's face off with a rocket launcher, didn't you?
Yeah, well, in theory.
All right.
Yes. As long as you are under attack and you really fear for your life, I think that's the legal.
Go to StephanieMiller.com. You can find out where Hal Sparks is playing here in Los Angeles. And we will see you Monday on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Yay.